We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, that would be fantastic. And we're just going to jump into it. I'm not going to give any introduction. We're just going to jump into it. So here's where it starts. Verse 1. He says this, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." Let me just stop here and point out that he makes it clear in this verse and all throughout this section that the Holy Spirit plays an active role in our lives. In just this section, we're going to look at just a few verses in chapter 12 here, but the Holy Spirit is specifically mentioned in verse 1, verse 3, verse 4, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. So just a few times he comes up here, right? And the main point I want you to see here is that the Holy Spirit is central to our lives. He's not reserved just for a few super Christians. He's not weird. He's not odd. He's not scary. He is actively present and actively involved in your life, whether you realize it or not. It's a sad reality that so many believers know so little about the Holy Spirit, about who he is and the work he wants to do in our lives. So much so that years ago, Francis Chan wrote a book about the Holy Spirit, and the title of the book was The Forgotten God. Because so many of us have just kind of excluded the Holy Spirit from our understanding of who God is and what life is all about and how to follow Christ. It's also sad that some of the most Bible-centered denominations seem to completely ignore and overlook the Holy Spirit and his work. The very Spirit that inspired the scriptures that they study and teach and seek to understand. When the truth is, the Holy Spirit is incredibly visible and incredibly active all through the scriptures, literally from cover to cover. He is specifically mentioned at creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Think about that. Verse 2, the second verse of the Bible, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. It's not like he just suddenly shows up in the book of Acts in the New Testament. He's all throughout the book. So we see him in the very second verse of the Bible, the Holy Spirit shows up. He's also mentioned, fast forward, at the end of time. He is specifically mentioned in one of the last verses, Revelation 22, 17. So what that means is if you look in your Bible, the Holy Spirit is spoken of on the first chapter, the first page and the last page, and in every page in between, we see him actively at work in people's lives. And the truth is, for you and for me, he is actively present in every moment of our lives too. So I urge you, get to know the Holy Spirit. Talk with him, listen to him, embrace his work in your life. And part of that work is giving us spiritual gifts. Let me just give a simple definition of spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a supernatural empowering to serve God in a way you never could in your own strength. That's what a spiritual gift is. It's not the same as a natural talent or ability. It can build on that, but ultimately it's a supernatural empowering given to you by the Holy Spirit so you can serve God effectively and so you can do things you could never do on your own, in your own strength or your own ability. And so every time you and I use our spiritual gifts, it is visible evidence of the reality of the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. So let's see what Paul teaches us here about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, starting in verse 4. He says this, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." So this is audience participation time. I'm going to ask a few questions and invite you to shout back the answers as you know them, okay? So the first question is, who gives us spiritual gifts? What do you see in this passage? Who gives them to us? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts. So he says, different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. So the Holy Spirit is the source of these spiritual gifts. In fact, in verse 11, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, he says this, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So whatever gifts you have them because the Holy Spirit, actively involved in your life, chose to give you those spiritual gifts. He is the source. He is the giver of those gifts. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The second question is this, who receives these spiritual gifts? Who are they for? For us, right? they're for us. So at the last verse here, he says it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. To each of us. And the each of us, he's referring here specifically to believers, not unbelievers. Unbelievers have natural talents and abilities, yes, but spiritual gifts are specifically given to believers. He's writing to believers here. So if you're a believer, you're included in that all of us phrase. So if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you have been given spiritual gifts. You may not realize that, and you may not know what they are yet. We're going to talk about that, but you have been given spiritual gifts. The third question from this passage is this. Why does he give these spiritual gifts to us? What are they for? What's the purpose of them? Anybody see it in that passage?
To help others.
To help others, right? So the last part there, spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's why he gives us spiritual gifts, so we can help each other. So the gifts he's given me are intended to serve you, not me, to serve you. And the gifts he's given you are intended to serve each other, not to serve yourself, but to serve other people. That's why he gives us these gifts. Now, in the next chapter, in chapter 13, the love chapter, Paul addresses love, and he talks about how that should be the motivation always for how we use our spiritual gifts. Over and over again, he emphasizes, use your gifts out of love. And he starts out that chapter by saying, if I have this gift, but I don't have love, it's nothing. It's worthless. It accomplishes nothing for God's kingdom. So over and over again, he's telling us, make sure the motivation for using your spiritual gifts is to show love to the body of Christ. When we get to chapter 14, he gives us a lot of detail on what's okay and what's not okay, and how we exercise our spiritual gifts, especially in the gathering when we're all together. And the overall guiding principle he gives us all throughout that chapter is this, is it helpful? The way I'm using my spiritual gift, is it helpful to others? If it's not, then I need to make some changes. And if it is, then I'm on the right track. But those gifts are given to us so we can serve one another and build up the body of Christ. Now, we're going to stay in 1 Corinthians 12, but real quick, I want to jump into 1 Peter 4 just for a couple minutes, because Peter reiterates some of what we've said so far. Verses 10 and 11, he says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So there's each of you again, right? Each of you, he's writing to believers. If you're a believer, you have been given spiritual gifts. He's given a gift to each of you from his great variety. So there's a whole bunch of them from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to do what? To serve one another. So he says the same thing, right? These gifts are given so we can serve one another. Use your gift to serve other people, to serve the body of Christ. Verse 11, he says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. In other words, when you use your spiritual gifts, don't do it in a half-hearted way. Use them with passion. Use them with all of the strength, all of the empowering that God gives you, because that's a gift he's given you to serve others. So he teaches us here, just like Paul did, these gifts are given to all of us. They're given by the Holy Spirit, and they're given to serve one another. But I want you to notice what Peter says next here. He also says, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So what he shows us in this passage here is that those gifts are intended not only to build up the body of Christ, but also to glorify Christ. So that's another reason for these spiritual gifts, to exalt his name, to point to him, to show off his glory and his power. So God gives us these gifts to build up the body of Christ, to glorify the name of Christ. There's a third reason. In 1 Corinthians 14, he talks about the impact of our gifts on unbelievers. And so that's the third reason, is that our gifts are intended to point people towards Jesus. So see, Jesus is central in all of this. This is all about Jesus. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's gonna point to me. He's gonna teach you about me. He's gonna remind you about me. And so the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts so that we can build up the body of Christ, so we can exalt the name of Christ, and so we can point unbelievers towards Christ. It's all about Jesus. That's why he gives us these gifts. So now in this passage, Peter only mentions two gifts. He mentions the gift of speaking and the gift of helps. But he also says there's a great variety of gifts. So what other gifts is he talking about? Well, to find that, we go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and let's see the list that Paul gives us here. Starting in verse 8, he says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So he mentions a whole bunch of gifts here, right? He mentions the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Peter mentions the gift of speaking and the gift of helps. Later on in this chapter, in verse 28, Paul adds two more gifts. There's a great variety of spiritual gifts God has given to his church. And something I really want us to get today is this. I believe that we need all of these gifts in operation, all of them. There's no distinguishing in these lists where God says, here are the gifts that are important, here are the ones you can ignore, here are the ones you don't need. He doesn't say that. And there's no timeline given there, right? He says, no, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to the church. And I believe all of them are necessary for the church. They are needed, and all of them are needed to be in operation in this church as well. All of them. Now, later on, we're going to get to a place where Paul compares the church, the family of God, to a physical body. And just how we have, you know, different body parts and they all have different functions and all of them are important, right? And what, I mean, you connect that to spiritual gifts. What he's saying is, just like all of the parts of our body matter, all of them are important and should be used in the same way all of the gifts matter. All of them are important and should be used. There's no time when God said, okay, this part of the body I'm going to amputate because we don't need it anymore. All of those parts are necessary. So he gives us these gifts to believers so that we can glorify Christ, build up the body of Christ, and point others to Jesus. And the fact that he has given them to us, that the Holy Spirit has given them to us, is a reminder that he is actively at work in our everyday lives. Now, if you've ever been in a church where there was controversy over spiritual gifts, or if you've ever done a study on spiritual gifts, you know that there can be some pretty serious arguments and disagreements about spiritual gifts and what they're like and what they shouldn't be like and all that kind of stuff. And so Paul addresses some of that in the next few verses. Here's where some of the difficulty comes in. It starts in the fact that we don't all have the same gifts. He says very specifically in verse 11, the Holy Spirit is the one who chooses. We don't choose. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts you have. He's the one who chooses them for you. And in the verses just before that, he says things like he gives one person this gift, he gives another person this gift, he gives another person this gift. So we don't all have the same gifts. And that's by design. That's a very good thing. But if we don't handle that with maturity and with wisdom, it can become a divisive thing. Here's how. On the one hand, we could delve into jealousy, right? Where I say, I wish I had that person's gift. Why do I have the stupid gift of whatever? I wish I had the gift that they have. That's an awesome gift. That looks like a lot of fun. And look at all the attention they get with that gift. I wish I had their gift. And we become jealous of someone else because of their gift. That's a problem. The other problem is the exact opposite, where sometimes it can become a pride thing, right? Of, look at me. Look at the gift I have. God gave me the best gift, so he must think I'm something special, right? My gift is far better than anyone. And we can go into that, right? And we can become prideful about the gifts we've given. Think about how ridiculous that is, that someone gives you a gift you didn't earn, but you become prideful because of a gift somebody gave you that you didn't earn, right? That doesn't make any sense. But that's human nature sometimes. And so Paul addresses this. He goes into our attitudes towards spiritual gifts and says you need to be careful of some things so that you can use them in the right way. So let me summarize where we're headed next with two warnings that he gives us. The first warning is this: don't use your gift in a selfish way. Don't use your spiritual gift in a way that is designed to draw attention to yourself. That's not what it's there for. And the second warning is this: don't judge others when they use their spiritual gifts. Don't exclude them. Don't shut them down. Don't tell them, no, you can't use your. Don't do that. Don't be judgmental of others when they use their gifts. So having said that, let's jump into it. Verse 12. Here's what he says. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. You see what he's saying here, right? Just like our physical bodies have a lot of different parts, and they're different from each other. Like my finger is different from my ear, right? And they all have different functions. And there's a great variety in the parts that make up our bodies, but all of them together make up one whole body, right? There's unity there in the middle of that diversity. And he says that's true also with the body of Christ, with the church, the family of believers. God brings together a whole bunch of diverse parts to make one complete unified whole. He goes on, he says this: some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. See, your past, whatever your background is, your nationality, your economic status, none of that changes or diminishes in any way your role in God's family. Christ goes right past all of the divisions and all of the barriers that we raise up. Christ goes right past all of those and pulls all of us together into one unified family, his family. And so in this passage, he compares a human body, all these different parts coming together. All of them are important, all of them are necessary, and all of them together make up a unified whole. And that's the whole point of all of this, is unity in the body of Christ. See, the purpose of the gifts should unify us. Because no matter what gifts you have, we all have those different gifts for the same purpose. Whether you have the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, the gift of helps, the gift of tongues, whatever your gift is, you have that gift so that you can build up the body of Christ, glorify him, and point others to him. So that same purpose should unify all of us, no matter what our gifts are. But also the source of those gifts should also unify us, because all of them come from the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who gave me the gifts that I have gave you the gifts you have. The same Holy Spirit who baptized me baptized you. The same Holy Spirit who lives in me lives in you. The same Holy Spirit who convicts me of sin convicts you of sin. It is the one Holy Spirit working and moving in all of us. And so spiritual gifts should never be the cause of division, should never be a source of division. They are intended to unify us together under the same Holy Spirit and serving the same holy purpose. He goes on, verse 14. He says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Let me just say, if you think your foot is talking to you, you might want to see somebody about that. Just put that out there. So, but you see what he's saying here, right? If the foot, it wouldn't make sense for the foot to say, I don't matter because I'm not a hand. Or for the ear to say, I don't matter because I can't see, I'm not an eye, right? And here's the point of that. You need to know that you matter, and your spiritual gifts are necessary in the body of Christ. No matter what they are, no matter what role you play in the body of Christ, it's an important one. So even if you're a foot, he says, your role matters. Don't say I'm not important because I'm not gifted that way. I don't have the same role as that person has. Even if you're an ear, he says that matters. That is important to the body of Christ, just as important as the eye is or the hand or whatever else. So understand that whatever role you play and whatever gifts you have, you matter, and those gifts are necessary to the body of Christ. But he goes on. So that's our attitude towards ourselves. But then he talks about our attitudes towards others, and he says this. He says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So just like he just said in the verses before, your role matters, whatever your role is, it's important and necessary. Now he says someone else, their role matters too. Their role is important and their role is necessary. In verse 21, he says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And in the same way, I should never say to someone else in the body of Christ, I don't need you. We don't need your gift. Your role in the body of Christ doesn't matter. We should never have that attitude. So your role and your gifts matter. They're necessary. And someone else, their role, their gifts matter. They are necessary. That's important for us to understand. So back to the two warnings that I mentioned earlier. Don't use your gift in a selfish way. And don't judge others when they use their gifts. Let me expand on those both just for a few minutes. The first one, don't use your gift in a selfish way. What I mean by that is don't make a show out of your spiritual gift. Don't use it to draw attention to yourself. That's not what it's there for. Now, let me preface it by saying this. Use your spiritual gift. God gave it to you for a reason. He wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to keep it wrapped up and sitting on a shelf collecting dust. He wants it out there. He wants it to be used. So you have something that this church family needs. I have something that this church family needs. And all of us together have something that the world around us desperately needs. We all have something valuable to offer. See, she agrees with me. Thank you for that, amen. She's in the amen corner now. We all have something valuable to offer. Something that God has called you to, that he has empowered you to do, that he has equipped you for and given you gifts to do. Something that has the potential to radically change someone else's life for eternity. You have that. God has put that in you. The Holy Spirit has birthed that in you. It's there. But if we're not following through on that, if we're not using those gifts, if we're not stepping into our calling, then we're missing out on some key opportunities to be a part of something big. We're missing out on the testimonies that God intends us to carry of, wow, look at what God did. This is amazing. Let me tell you what happened this past week, how God worked and how God moved. And not only that, people around us, they're missing out because my gift is intended to serve them. So if I'm not using my gift, they're missing out on a gift that God wants to give them through me. So use your spiritual gifts. Just make sure you use them for the right reasons and in the right way. Don't use your gift to draw attention to yourself. This whole passage makes it really clear that these gifts are given so we can serve others, not so we can serve ourselves. And that no one member of the body can say, well, I'm more important than anyone else, so everyone give me your praise and your attention. It's not how it works. In fact, in chapter 14, he kind of paints this scenario of all these different people kind of grabbing for attention and trying to grab the microphone at the same time of, you know, somebody saying, well, I've got a word of prophecy, and someone else saying, I've got a message in tongues, and someone else saying, I've got a word of wisdom or word of knowledge, and all these people just trying to grab attention to themselves. And he says, don't do that. It's not, it doesn't help anyone, and it just becomes really confusing. So the point is, don't make a spectacle out of your spiritual gift. It's intended to glorify Christ and to build up the body, and to draw others towards him who are not yet believers. Sadly, in some churches, that has been violated, where spiritual gifts are used to kind of glorify an individual and put a spotlight on an individual and make that person famous. That's not what it's for. It's all about putting a spotlight on Jesus and making his name famous. So use your spiritual gifts. Make sure you use them in the right way and for the right reasons. The second warning is this: don't judge others when they use their spiritual gifts. This is really important. I think it's important for us to give each other grace when someone else uses their spiritual gift, especially if it's a spiritual gift that you haven't seen in operation before. You know, sometimes somebody might have a spiritual gift that you haven't seen before, or you've seen it, but you've seen it misused, and so you have a negative attitude towards that gift. Be careful of that. Be careful you're not judging somebody else based on what another person has done in the past. But understand this, just because someone has a spiritual gift that you've never seen before, maybe someone, you've never seen someone correctly use the gift of tongues. Or maybe you've never seen someone use the gift of prophecy and speak a word out with the authority of this is a message from God. Or maybe you've never seen someone who has the gift of faith speak a command of faith against a problem or a sickness and do it with such boldness that it feels uncomfortable to you. Maybe you've never seen that. Just because something is new to you or makes you feel uncomfortable or seems unusual doesn't mean that it's out of order or that it's not of God. Think about what happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Was that unusual?
Yeah.
Maybe just a little. All of you are sitting there like, yeah, no big deal, right? Like a massive windstorm coming through the upper room, visible flames of fire showing up above their heads. All of a sudden, they're speaking in foreign languages that they've never learned before. And to the outsiders, it sounded like gibberish, and they made fun of them and said, oh, they're just drunk. It sounded ridiculous. They thought it was foolishness. Was that uncomfortable, do you think? Was it of God?
Yes.
Yeah, it was of God. So just because something is unusual or we haven't seen it before or it feels uncomfortable doesn't mean that God's not in it. God was in that, and just because some people were offended by it or thought it was odd or unusual did not change the fact that God was doing something absolutely amazing. And here in these verses, Paul is writing to a church that was abusing spiritual gifts. That's why he wrote these three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, to correct them because they were abusing spiritual gifts. Here's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, stop using your gifts. He doesn't do that. He says, guys, I want you to use your gifts, but make sure you're using them in the right way. And this is interesting, too. He also says in chapter 14, verse 18, he says this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. He said that to a church that was abusing spiritual gifts, especially the gift of tongues. To that church, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Notice again, he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to stop using that gift just to set an example because y'all need to cut it out. He didn't do that. He said, God has given me this gift and I'm going to use it. I'm going to keep using it and I'm urging you to use it, but use it in the right way. He doesn't say stop. He says, here's the right way to use this gift because he fully expected they would continue to use that valuable gift in a way that would honor Christ. So what he does all through these passages is this. He addresses abuses and he gives corrections. He doesn't judge them and he doesn't demand that they stop using their gifts. He says, use it, but use it in the right way. Elsewhere he says this. I love 1 Thessalonians 5, look what he says starting in verse 19. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. I love the balance he gives us here in these verses. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. In other words, when someone is using their spiritual gift, don't step in and shut down what the Holy Spirit is doing. Don't despise someone else's use of their spiritual gifts. Don't do that. But on the other hand, he says, test it. Make sure it really is of God. Make sure that it really is the Holy Spirit who's inspiring this, who's doing this, and whatever's good, hold on to that. Whatever's not, reject it. And I think that's the right balance, and that's the balance that we should have as a church. Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to be a church that has no discernment and just accepts every bizarre thing that somebody says or does and just says, well, it must be godly because it's unusual. I don't think we want to be that church. But we also don't want to be the church where nothing happens and where God never shows up. Because we're so terrified of anything that's outside of our control, anything that's unusual, anything that's out of our comfort zone, that we quench the Spirit and despise spiritual gifts. We don't want to be that church either. What we need to do is show grace to each other. If someone is using a spiritual gift that you haven't seen before, or if someone uses their gift and maybe they don't get it just right, maybe they make a mistake, that's okay. It's an opportunity to learn and it's an opportunity to grow. I want you to know you are welcome to use your spiritual gifts here. Whatever you feel God is nudging you to do, follow His lead and trust that He will empower you to use that gift in a way that glorifies Him. But let's give grace to each other. I think it's kind of like riding a bike, learning to ride a bike. And when you, as parents, you taught your kid how to ride a bike, you know, the first few times they kind of wobbled and they fell over, and chances are you didn't like get in their face and scream at them and tell them how horrible they are. And this is really inappropriate. You can't ever, don't ever ride a bike. Like, if you did, we should talk afterwards, right? Probably you didn't do that, right? You probably showed them grace. You were probably patient with them. Hopefully you were patient with them. And what did you do? You helped them to find the balance they needed. You helped them to learn how to get started and when to stop. That's how you teach a child how to ride a bike, and I think that should be our approach to spiritual gifts too. Sometimes people are going to use a gift and maybe it's going to be a little bit wobbly and a little uncomfortable, and they might mess up a little bit. That's okay. We don't get in their face and scream at them and shut it down. We say, okay, there's some correction that needs to happen here, and so we do that in grace where that's needed. And I think this is really important because moving forward as a church, I fully expect we are going to see more and more manifestations of the spiritual gifts, all of them. And I think that's necessary, and that's something several of us are praying for. And as we do, sometimes people might make a mistake. We don't need to freak out. We don't need to quench the spirit. We don't need to despise their gift. What we need to do is when correction is needed, we give it in a loving way. We show grace to each other and we grow as a result of that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So today I'm encouraging you, get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know your spiritual gifts and then use them. Use them to glorify Christ. Use them to point others to Him. And use them to build up the body of Christ. One last thing I want to address for a few minutes here is the question people always raise when we talk about spiritual gifts, and that's the question, how do I know what my gifts are? So you're saying I've got these spiritual gifts, I have no clue what God has given me or what my gifts are, so how do I figure that out? So I want to give you just 7 questions that I think will help to answer that or point you in the right direction. Here's the first question, what resonates with you? Here's what I mean by that. We looked at a couple of the lists of spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4. There's another one in Romans chapter 12. And there's others that are even mentioned elsewhere throughout the Bible. But as you read through, when you come across those lists of spiritual gifts, is there one of them or a couple of them that when you see that on the page, something inside of you just says, yes, just grabs your attention? Like for me, I have the gift of teaching. So whenever I come across that, when I see the gift of teaching, when I see an example in Scripture of that gift being exercised, something inside of me just goes, I love that gift. So whatever that is for you, when you see those gifts listed or exercised in Scripture, maybe something inside of you just kind of comes alive. That could point to an area where God has gifted you. So pay attention to that. Here's the second question. What have you done in the past? And what I mean specifically by that is, what have you done in the past that makes you come alive? I'm not talking about things you've done in the past because somebody guilted you into doing this ministry or, you know, well, nobody else is doing it, so I guess somebody asked to, so I'll do that. I'm talking about those things you've done in the past where you were involved in a ministry and you look back and say, man, that was awesome. I love that. Maybe it was helping somebody at a time of need or getting involved in a ministry. And at first you thought, I'm way in over my head. I have no idea how to do this, but you did it anyways. And God came through and God used you. And it was amazing. Maybe God is saying, you know what? It's time to pick that back up again because that's a gift that He's given to you. That's something to pay attention to. A third question is, what have you experienced? And I'm not talking about ministry or gifts. I'm talking about life experiences. What have you experienced in your life that maybe is unique to you? Sometimes those things that we go through in our lives, as we go through those times, God creates a spiritual gift in us to help others who have gone through the same kind of situation. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, God comforts us in our trouble so we can comfort others with the same comfort we've been given. So maybe you've been through a situation that was very painful and you've come through it and you've found some healing and you've grown through it. You have something to share with someone else who's going through that same situation right now. And they're going to be a lot more likely to listen to you than they are to me because I'm not where they are, but you've been where they are. And so you have something in common. So that could be an area to pay attention to of maybe God is calling you and He's gifted you to minister in one of those areas of a life experience you look back on and say, I never want to go through that again, but God used it in my life. Here's the fourth question. What needs do you see? You know, sometimes people look around the church and they say, well, we really need this ministry I wish somebody would do this. I wish somebody would start up this ministry or meet this need. Sometimes the reason you see that is because God is telling you to meet that need. It's not always the thing of, okay, I see this need, so somebody else needs to do something. Sometimes we see the need because we have that passion. And the reason you notice it when nobody else does is because it matters enough to you to notice it. And that can be an indication that God has given you spiritual gifts equipped to meet that need. So that's something to pay attention to. What are the needs you see as you look around the church, as you look around your community, as you look around the world? Fifth question is this: what do others see in you? Sometimes other people see things in us that we don't see. We all have blind spots, right? And sometimes other people can see your spiritual gift and you have no clue what it is, but they can see it. So have a conversation with someone who knows you well, who loves the Lord, or if you know someone who has the gift of discernment, that's an easy, just tap into that, right? Okay, you've got the gift of discernment. Talk to me. You know, what do you see? Sometimes others can see those gifts in us that we can't see. So ask someone who knows you well. The sixth question is this: what is God saying to you about your gifting? Pray about it. Ask God to show you. Think about it this way. God gave you those gifts, right? Those are gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to know what they are so you can use them. He doesn't want them just to sit at the side and be ignored. He wants you to know. So ask him, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Help me to see what you've gifted me with so I can use it to serve you. And again, James chapter 1 gives us this promise. If we lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give us the wisdom that we need. And then the last question, number 7, is what are you waiting for? What I mean by that is jump in and try something. Sometimes the way we discover things is just by jumping in and doing it. And sometimes you get involved in ministry and you find out pretty quickly, okay, this is not for me. It doesn't work for me. And other times you jump in and you're like, man, this is exactly where I'm meant to be. I know for myself, back in my late teens, early 20s, if I had taken one of those spiritual gift tests, or if I had done any of the first 6 things, here's what it never would have come up with. You are gifted to stand up in front of people every single week and preach and teach. That never would have shown up on my radar. The only way I know that God has given me that gift is because I jumped in and did it. To be perfectly honest, no, I didn't jump in. I was pushed in. I was dragged into, not by my wife. I was dragged into it kicking and screaming. But as I did, I discovered that God had gifted me to do something that I had no clue was even there until that opportunity was right there in front of me. Sometimes the way we discover this, the only way sometimes, is just by jumping in and doing it. So I encourage you, find a place, get involved, and see how God comes through. You might discover a spiritual gift that you never knew you had. So having said that, back on the Information Center, there's several copies of this. These are ministry opportunities. This is a list of the ministries we have in our church. It includes who to contact if you're interested, a summary of what that ministry does. Here's the kind of person that fits well with this ministry, and here's the kind of spiritual gifts that are really important to this ministry. If you're not sure where you fit in, if you're looking for a place to get involved, pick one of these up, look it over, pray it over, and talk with someone about it. And let me just say this too. If you say, well, here's a ministry and I want to get involved in this, here's what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean, okay, good, you're locked into that ministry for the next 48 years. That's not how we do things here, okay? If you step into that ministry, give it a try for 3 months, 6 months. Give it a try and see if it fits you. And if it doesn't, that's okay. We're not going to jump in and say, well, you're a terrible person. Get out of here. We're not going to do that. We're going to say, okay, this wasn't the right fit. That's fine. We'll find something else and we'll work together to find what fits for you. But you have gifts and you have a calling. So find a place where you can fit in and use those gifts and see God do something amazing through your life. So Father, I want to thank you this morning. You are the giver of good gifts. You've given us spiritual gifts because you love us and because you invite us to be a part of the amazing work you are doing here on this earth. Thank you so much, Lord, for your incredible grace and the calling that you put on each one of our lives. I pray, Father, just as we talked about this morning, that we would be people who are keenly aware of your work and your presence in our lives. That the Holy Spirit would not be someone that we overlook. That he would not in any of our lives be the forgotten God. But Lord, that we would walk in the fullness of your Spirit. that we would fully embrace the work that you are doing in us, and that we would fully embrace the calling of what you want to do through us. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and I pray that you will stir up within us those spiritual gifts that you've given us. And Lord, use us. Use us to glorify your name. Use us to build up the body of Christ. Use us to point others to Jesus. And we thank you so much that we get to be a part of that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.